The next stop, stop three, is the Birkenwills Monument. From the Theatre Royal, go back up to the corner of Moston Street and turn right. Walk about 150 metres till you pass the shops and you can see the monument. It's an obelisk on the hill at the top of Moston Street. And there you have a choice. You can walk up to the monument, and that's the extra stiff climb I mentioned earlier, or you can continue listening to the story under a shady tree or back at a cafe table on the footpath. Imagine this. You don't know what lies in the centre of Australia. Is it a Sahara, an inland sea, or fertile plains? Well, a monument commemorates the fact that it was the Castlemaine policeman, Robert O'Hara Burke, who led the first expedition to cross the continent from south to north, with camels, horses, and on foot. In short, Burke and three others made it to the Gulf of Carpentaria and halfway back across Australia, an incredible journey. On April the 17th, 1861, 9 months after leaving Melbourne, one of them, Charlie Gray, a sailor, died. The other three were so weak it took a day to bury him, and what a fatal delay that turned out to be. 4 days later, at sunset, the remaining three reached their supply depot on Cooper's Creek to learn that the men who'd been awaiting their return had given them up for dead and left that morning. Their campfire was still warm. Under a tree, inscribed with the word dig, a message gave their departure time at 10:30 a.m. Only one of the three, John King, survived because he took up with the local Aborigines. By July 1861, Burke and his navigator, William Wills, had died of starvation, their clothes shredded, their bodies a bundle of skin, ligament and bone. And the Castlemaine Monument is to the four who reached the Gulf. Here's Felix, Brian and Robin.
When the Birkenwills expedition was mooted in government circles and they were looking for a leader, Burke's name was suggested to be put up by the local sheriff, who was Sheriff Richard Collis. He lived not far from where Robert O'Hara Burke lived, and they were good friends, and they used to get together and have chats and a few drinks and whatever else professionals might do after hours. And Collis suggested to Burke that he should put his name up for doing the Birkenwills expedition. Burke then got the job through Collis's recommendation. Now,
so what was Burke's qualification to lead an expedition from one end of Australia to the other?
As far as I can make out, his only qualification was that he was fantastic at quelling riots.
So, quelling riots, keeping a party of men under control, or hostile Aboriginal people on the way?
I think they were looking at both. Yes, they thought that the skills that he showed there would be able to stand him in good stead with for whatever cropped up along the way.
And what sort of a copper was he here in Castlemaine, do you know?
He was much loved to say farewell to him when he was going to leave here and go down and join the expedition at Royal Park. The townspeople put on a lovely dinner for him, and he was very well liked, yeah. So he often got lost. He'd have a drink or two, and his bathing habits were a bit of a laugh at the time, because he lived over in a little house called Broad Oaks over near the camp reserve, and he had a hole dug in the back, and he would sit in the hole half full of water do his ablutions, and still wearing his helmet, of course.
Looking back on it from these days, a lot of people recognise it as a disaster, as a man who made some terrible decisions on the way. Back then, they didn't have any sense of he might not have been the right choice to lead that expedition?
Well, he was an Irishman and used to coming from green fields. And, yes, he was basically out of his depth. He didn't have a lot of knowledge. They were the first to do a crossing from to Carpentaria. And they got into territory where they were totally ignorant of the ways of the desert and the dry, arid country. They didn't heed the need to examine what the Aborigines were doing, and the Aborigines offered them help and offered them food, which they looked upon as dry seeds or whatever, but they didn't take advantage of it and they paid the consequences. So I think you could safely say that totally inexperienced for the conditions they were heading for.
We're looking back on Burke from 150 years or so, but at the time, the people of Castlemaine didn't view him in the fashion we've been talking with some sense of mirth, because that's a really big monument up there.
When he died, the people of Castlemaine rallied and erected the first monument to Burke and Wills in Australia, which is the one that you're looking up at now. And if you look at the inscription on the monument, you will see that it states that it was built by public subscription to commemorate Burke and Wills, and it says Robert O'Hara Burke of Castlemaine.
Do you understand this incredible pride for somebody who was probably ill-equipped for a journey that was, in the end, a failure?
Because Burke was the leader of the expedition, and he was therefore a hero in the terms of the day. And he was extolled so loudly and so proudly, and so made such a golden man, he and Wills, but mainly Burke. So any connection with him and his heroism, he was a good brand, basically. So everybody wanted to claim a bit of him, and there was a race almost as soon as the bodies were found to see who could erect the first and the most splendiferous monument to Burke and Wills and the rest of them, but Burke and Wills. And Castlemaine won, if you like. So there's another reason that we were so proud at the time. And not only did we win, but we built the bloody biggest one on the biggest hill.
And as you can imagine, there's many ins and outs to that story. The book I can recommend is The Dig Tree by Sarah Murgatroyd. And our next stop is the home of a former librarian, Miss Heron. Directions are at the beginning of track 4.